Let me invite you tonight over to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to pick up in verse 18, Genesis 37, verse 18. Genesis chapter 37, verse 18 reads this way. It says, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and Lord, for the privilege of calling upon you and asking you for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to empower the service, Lord, that you might open up our hearts and minds, and Lord, that you might reveal to us the truths that you have for us this evening. Bless the message, Lord. Bless Northwood Baptist Church, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is really the same as what we've been looking at here, and that is the work of God's mercy and grace. And I want to challenge you to do something here tonight before we actually get started, and that is to read chapter 38, and you will find something, not right now, don't do it now, sometime at home, read chapter 38, take your time, go through it, because there is a powerful truth hidden in plain sight. I mean, there's something there that I've read many times, but it just, when it comes together, and I will let you know what that is. If I don't preach a message on it, I will announce it and tell you what it is, but it's powerful, and I think you'll find it, and so that's kind of a little bit of homework. But tonight, as we consider our text, what we're looking at here is really the work of God's mercy and grace, even though there is a conspiracy here to thwart it or unknowingly thwart it. So the brothers have a personal vendetta against their brother Joseph, right? I don't think the brothers are really thinking about striking out against God per se, as opposed to really getting even with Joseph. But what we find here is God in the middle of it all. So consider this. The brothers are definitely not right in their relationship with their brother. Is that fair enough to say? Well, in the same sense, they're not in right relationship with their heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So you know what the Bible says? If you hate your brother in Christ, you can't say that you love me, because how can you say you love God who you cannot see and hate your brother that you can see, is basically the truth that's in that. And then the Lord in another place says that that we need to forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ as Christ forgave us, not holding any strings on it. And we have sometimes a tendency to say, well, I might forgive, but I won't forget. I might forgive, but I won't forget, and I might hold that. Well, what people don't realize is that puts us into bondage. That doesn't allow that to die. That will fester up. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but maybe somebody has done you wrong. Maybe right now you thought about it. Yeah, they've done me wrong. And that keeps us in bondage. We need, by the grace of God, to forgive them and let it go. Because it frees us, really, and I mean a genuine peace that comes from the Lord. Everything that God does for us is simply that, God doing it for us so that we can be made free. Isn't that what the Lord said? And because he wants us to have his joy, isn't that what the Lord said? And because he wants us to have his peace, why is that so important? Why is it so let me ask you a question. Would you like to live life and have no peace? Live life and have no joy? That would be just an existence, wouldn't it? That wouldn't be living. That would just be meandering through life. Well, God's come to give us life and a quality of life that rests in him. And what you find is that these brothers were constantly trying to conjure up something to get rid of the brother, and then they had to come up with a lie. And then they had to live with that lie, always wondering, always looking. They never knew what actually ever happened of Joseph. Maybe they thought Joseph would escape maybe and show up one day.
Boy, that maybe they didn't think about that. I don't know what they were thinking about, but there's no doubt in my mind there was no rest and there was no peace in their lives. And we see that afterwards when Jacob dies, that all the brothers said, okay, now we're in for it, because now that Dad's gone, Joseph's going to get even with us. And of course, he didn't want anything to do with that. So as we look at this, just want to look at a little bit here, considering the depths of sin here in the lives of these brothers, and it can also take us to great depths as well. So when we consider this, they say in verse 20, come now, therefore, and let us slay him. They want to kill him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, they've got it all worked out. Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. So you see right there really what their main motive is. They want to get rid of this prophecy. They hated their brother. They really hated him, and they could not imagine them bowing down before their brother. Now, wait a minute. Listen. There was some credibility to Joseph, because they felt that if they did not get rid of him, his dreams possibly and probably would come true. Why? Because they saw the integrity and they saw the relationship. Listen, if Potiphar and his household could see that God was with him, do you think the brothers might? Do you see the difference? So they were threatened by God fulfilling his will in Joseph's life, because they were already seeing his success. I mean, my goodness, everything he touched worked out well. Isn't that, listen, that is a testimony of the Lord in our lives. Not that we get everything that we want, but as we surrender to the Lord, that everything is all right. That we have the peace of God that passes understanding. Is that the promise of God to the believer? Are you sure? That is the promise of God to the believer. Now, here's a question. Is it taking place in your life? No, I didn't say, are you making that happen? I asked if it was taking place in your life. If not, I cannot do anything for you but to tell you this. Ask God to bring it to pass. Ask God. That's praying. Ask God and you shall receive. Isn't that what the Lord said? The problem, we don't do God any favors to pray and say, well, it didn't come to pass because I've asked him for a week now and it hasn't happened. So, you know, I guess I better stop, because I'm going to have to say that God doesn't answer prayer. Well, and if I don't ask God, then I don't have to say that God doesn't answer prayer. Well, if God doesn't answer prayer, you need to go somewhere else. You see what I'm saying? Are we putting on a show, or is God real in our lives? You see, listen, that is the difference that God makes in your life and mine. He is real. And everybody else that says this God is the right God and that God is the right God, it isn't real. How did David know that he could take on Goliath? God was leading him to do that, and he saw the previous things that God was doing in his life that gave him the confidence that God will do it again. And if you read that carefully, he said, this day the God of Israel is going to deliver you into my hands. He was crediting God, not his great skill with a sling. He was crediting God for the victory. And so the focal point has to be on God. Watch what happens right here. Notice verse 21. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands. He didn't want that to happen, and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. So this was his purpose. He was trying to bring him home. And it came to pass that when Joseph was come unto his brethren, so this whole scheme was taking place as he's approaching, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors and that was on him, and then they took him and cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. Listen, that is the epitome, or the depths, really, of the depravity of the human heart. When something is awry, one of the first things naturally to go is our appetite. When something is not right, I mean really not right. There's something missing there. But these people are callous to that. So notice what happens here, verse 25. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down where? To Egypt. Now, no doubt, listen. So what God is wanting us to know is the direction that these Ishmaelites were going in. They knew that they were going to Egypt. Now, God also, listen, God prepared an opportunity already because of the depravity of the hearts of the brothers. And here is God's mercy as well. Was it God's plan, listen, was it God's plan for Joseph to be in Egypt? Are you sure? Here's a better question. Was it Joseph's plan for him to be in Egypt? It was not his plan. You know what the difference was? Joseph had a relationship with the Lord that he was able to trust him for every moment of every day. He knew that God was in control. That gave him peace and comfort. Now, when we get bent out of shape, it doesn't mean that we don't feel physical harm. It doesn't mean that we're invincible, that we don't feel certain things that happen that are bad and that are negative. But his rest and his peace was in the Lord. Did Joseph understand that more and more when the dream was given to Pharaoh and he was brought forth and all of a sudden brought in to be the second unto Pharaoh? Wait a minute. When he was already experiencing success in his father's house, did he experience the presence of God and the blessing of God in Potiphar's house? He did. Do you see that? Listen, everywhere he was at, and he was a slave, mind you, and he was working with the joy and peace of God. He was not trying to figure out, he was not at unrest trying to figure out how to get back home or how to get a message or word back to his dad to let him know. His dad was older. He was the son of his old age, the Bible tells us. And no doubt he thought, you know, this is probably not very well for my dad. He's not doing very well. It's not good for him. And yet, he was at peace, and he could wait on the Lord. So he goes through all these experiences, trusting the Lord, and God finally showed it. It all culminated together at the very end. He was able to see that God truly was leading me through all of this. Do you know that God leads you and I through everything we experience? He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And I will promise you this. If you read the Psalms concerning Joseph, he cried out. And in fact, the brothers talk about it towards the end when Joseph reveals, before he revealed himself, he said, this is coming to us. God is doing this because of what we've done to our brother. When we ignored him when he was crying out. So he was experiencing anguish, physical anguish. But he had confidence in God. And so they go on and they sit down and they eat bread. And look at verse 26. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? So now I don't understand all of this here, but he's obviously not wanting. They wanted to kill him. He's saying, hey, let's not do that. The Ishmaelites just happen to be coming at such a time as this, right? Here come the slave traders, if you will, who set all that up. God delivered Joseph out of the hands of their brothers. And so they see them, and Judah sees it, and he says, hey, got a better idea, guys. Instead of doing that, he says, verse 27, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. They're all happy with that plan. So what happens then? They're passed by the Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph to Egypt. And Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren and said, this child is not, and whether shall I go? So and they took Joseph's coat, and they killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. Now, there's no doubt in anybody's mind that this was a unique coat. Nobody had it. It identified Joseph, right? They knew what they were doing, and they knew it. And he knew it, verse 33, and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days." So imagine this, they're watching the father mourning for a son that he thinks is dead that's not. They held the key, the answer to his grief, and they didn't give it to him. Isn't that amazing? Verse 35, "And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted." They wanted to comfort and try to soothe, but they didn't want to tell him the truth, because the truth would have set him free, wouldn't it? And he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and a captain of the guard. Now, I'm going to give you a little clue. Well, maybe I won't. I'm just going to challenge you to read chapter 38 and see if you can see the unbelievable mercy of God. Because what you're going to find here is Judah was the culprit that conspired and set up the plan, wasn't he? And look what happens. No doubt he is reaping what he has sowed, but the mercy of God is there as well. And we'll get back to that. I'll leave that with you, give you a challenge to look through there and see what that mercy is. Undeserving Judah. Does that ring a bell? Anyway, let's pray, and we'll finish with our prayer service. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mercy and your grace, and Lord, for your watch care and your protection and provision. We pray, Lord, that you would be with the remainder of the service as we break off for prayer. Lord, that you would be honored and glorified and our hearts drawn closer to you and to one another. Bless and we'll thank you. Again, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.